Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Thank you so much for listening in today. I held off on doing this episode because I was really hoping that we were going to get maybe a couple more dominoes falling, like the Aaron Rodgers trade or DeAndre Hopkins getting moved or maybe even Odell Beckham signing. And then none of that happened this week. And now the week's almost over and I'm going to be off for a couple weeks after this. And I know that Friday afternoon isn't the best time to drop content normally, but I still wanted to record because I know how awesome all of you are. I know that you're going to download, you're going to listen to the show no matter when we put this crazy thing out. And I love you for that. And I appreciate you all for supporting my work the way you do. It is fantastic. You allow me to do what I do and I can't thank you enough for it. I will say too that when we started this show 5 years ago, I figured we were going to get a decent amount of people tuning in during the NFL season. I never expected that we were going to get the kind of numbers that we get during the offseason too. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's a bit of a drop off after the Super Bowl, but it's really not that much. And year over year, we keep seeing all the numbers going up significantly. So once again, I thank you all for that so much. Every time I see those numbers, it just warms my heart. It makes me so excited to continue doing this. So thank you again for that. On today's show, I want to go over the biggest risers and fallers from free agency because I updated my redraft rankings again this week. I also put out new brand new dynasty rankings and trade value charts too. So everything you need to stay on top of things. And, you know, as the final piece of the free agency puzzle here, I wanted to talk about some of the players whose stock has changed the most in those latest rankings. So let's start with the risers, and I'll try to make this quick because some of them we've already discussed even back on last week's show. But at quarterback, Justin Fields, definitely a riser over the last few weeks, over the last month, just in terms of his fantasy value. He really didn't move in my rankings, so it might be strange that I'm calling him a riser, but that's because I was already high on him. I think it's other people are going to be coming around on this now. I have him as a top five QB in redraft and in dynasty, and I think that's because what we saw from him last year, yes, you can nitpick little things about his game, but he got comfortable out there. He became a difference maker. He put that Bears offense on his back. I didn't think there was any way that they were going to trade him. I knew that they were going to trade that number one pick and they were going to roll with Fields moving forward. And now in the last few weeks, they go out, they get him some reinforcements in that trade where they traded down. They also get DJ Moore and that gives them a number one receiver, a legit guy for Fields to throw to. It really helps because it bumps the other receivers down a notch, right? Darnell Mooney maybe forced into that number one role last year. Now he can settle into the number two spot where I think he could be a really quality number two receiver in that offense. And same thing with Chase Claypool, maybe a little more comfortable as the number three there. I mean, even bringing in Robert Tonyan, that's a really good depth move at tight end, right? He can play that Jimmy Graham role from a couple years ago where Jimmy Graham was kind of a weapon around the goal line. Just another option in the offense. And I don't love it for Cole Kmet's fantasy upside, but it is another notch in the positive column for Fields. So Fields is a winner, even though he really didn't move in my rankings. Dak Prescott, another winner. And again, not a huge jump for him. He just moves up one spot, but it's pretty tight. When you get into that top 10, it's hard to really make a significant jump. The bump up, though, it's just purely based on the Cowboys going out, getting Brandon Cooks. He's an excellent number two option for Dallas, and you pair him with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and that forms a really solid trio there. And Cook's just 29 years old, still got a lot of juice in the tank. I know there's some durability concerns. He's had some concussion problems in the past. He had some issues last year, I mean, with the Texans when they didn't trade him before the deadline, and then he sat out some games, but he's going to be motivated in Dallas. And every time that this guy has changed teams during his career, whether it was going from the Saints to the Patriots, or when he went from the Patriots to the Rams, or eventually we ended up with the Texans, he's always posted over 1,000 yards in his first year with a new team. 6,000 yard campaigns total on his resume gives them a nice speed element. They could use that. I think it's great news for Dak. And it also, this might seem a little bit weird, but I also think that the team releasing Ezekiel Elliott, I think that's good for Dak too. And we'll see if they bring somebody else in to join Tony Pollard in the backfield. I know Ronald Jones is there. He could be that guy. I feel like they'll probably draft someone else, but Rojo definitely back in the fantasy radar. Either way, having an explosive running back like Tony Pollard as your locked-in starter, somebody that could take a short pass and turn it into a long gain, that helps Dak. We also might see Dak run a little more around the goal line if Zeke's not around, right? In Dak's first five seasons, he averaged 5 rushing touchdowns a year. The last 2 seasons, that's dropped to just 1 per year. So no guarantees there, but it's possible we could see Dak score a little more on the ground. Either way, he is a strong QB1 for fantasy. He could outperform that position as well. And then we should say Tony Pollard is also a riser. This one, way too obvious. And I think I got out ahead on this one. I had him as a top 12 running back in my January rankings. Now he is well inside the top 10. But like I said, that's tentative until we see what Dallas is going to do at running back and who else they might bring in. But as long as Pollard's healthy, all signs are that he should be healthy too, right? The broken leg, he should be healed by training camp. As long as he's 100%, Pollard has top five potential as the lead back in that offense. And that's assuming that the Cowboys don't get crazy and draft Bijan Robinson in the first round or something. That definitely would set Twitter ablaze if that happens. A couple other starting running backs who moved up in my rankings, some veterans who changed teams. David Montgomery going to the Lions. Talked about him at length last week. I love this landing spot for him, and it kills me to see DeAndre Swift have to deal with another backfield partner who's going to steal work from him, especially around the goal line. But I also think Montgomery is just an underrated back by the fantasy community, and now he's going to a team that they're about to make a leap this year. I'm not projecting him to score 17 touchdowns like Jamal Williams did last season, but just reaching double-digit TDs would be enough for Montgomery to be in the, you know, quality RB2 fantasy conversation. And I think he's going to out-touch Swift just based on how the coaching staff is talking about them. And that makes Swift more of a fringe, low-end RB2, kind of high-end RB3. I still like Swift better in Dynasty, but in redraft, I'm taking Montgomery over Swift, and I feel pretty good about that now. I also moved Miles Sanders up, and I'll admit on this one, I had some concerns about his fantasy stock going into free agency. I wasn't sure that he was going to find a team that would be willing to trust him as their lead back. I was definitely wrong about that because the Panthers gave him a nice contract. He has firmly installed atop their depth chart. And now there's still questions, I mean, about his pass catching ability, and that kind of puts a bit of uncertainty around his fantasy ceiling, but it's not hard to project him as an RB2 for fantasy, maybe even a top 20 guy. And I also like what Carolina's doing. And if the team is actually going to overperform, they're going to win more games than expected this year. That could be good news for their starting running back. And they've also made some under the radar signings that I like, you know, Hayden Hurst at tight end, bringing in Adam Thielen. I think he's on his last legs here, but that's still a good signing when they didn't have much in the receiving core. They also added DJ Chark today, which I think is a really good signing for them. The offensive line was solid last year. I think their defense is okay, and now they're going to get to add the rookie QB of their choosing with the first overall pick. So don't sleep on the Panthers this year for fantasy or in terms of having a chance to actually win the NFC South, which I think it's going to be a wide open battle in that division. And I think the Panthers could really surprise people. We also have to mention Rashad Penny as a winner here, but unlike Montgomery and Sanders, Penny's contract, it was really low. So he's going to have to survive here the rest of free agency, and he's going to have to survive through the draft before we can really feel good about him as a fantasy option. And yes, the upside is there, but there's still a ton of risk that he could eventually end up in a committee. And also, I mean, the durability issues when you're talking about Rashad Penny, you know, every season we have to talk about this. No player is injury prone, but Rashad Penny has not been able to stay healthy for a full year at any point in his NFL career. So Penny definitely a riser, but right now I have him as an upside RB3. I reassessed that one a little bit when I did the second update this week. I'm definitely going to have some shares of him though, no doubt about that. I'm also going to have some shares of some of these intriguing backups that signed in free agency. Samaje Perine is one of them. I mean, all signs coming out of Denver right now are that Javonte Williams' injury, that it's a bad one, that you could compare it maybe more to like J.K. Dobbins in 2022, where he could miss the start of the season. He might not find his form until late in the year. There was also some reports that Javonte might just miss the 2023 season entirely. And for that, I will say, I thank all the awesome injury analysts out there because they were on top of this. I saw that early. I had Javonte low in my rankings all offseason. I don't plan on drafting him this year unless we find out something surprising at this point that he is recovering way faster than expected. But I will be drafting Perine because we saw him perform in that Bengals offense when they needed him as a spot starter last season. He came through. He'll get another shot to do that in Denver, at least early in the season. They also might draft someone, so we have to keep an eye on that too. And then when you look at Cincinnati where Perine left, Travion Williams, he re-signed at the moment. He's the leader in the clubhouse right now to take Perine's old job as the number two back. So Travion Williams, a really deep dynasty stash just until we see what they have planned. Could go a lot of ways. I mean, Joe Mixon, there's some talk that he's not a lock to be on the roster in week one. Could see him get cut or traded. They also might draft somebody. So it's a long shot when you're talking about Travion Williams, but I have picked him up in some really deep leagues just in case. And I'm also holding on to Ronald Jones for the same reason. I mentioned it before, but he's easy to overlook. You forget that he was on the Chiefs roster and he kind of got buried there. But this is a 25-year-old running back who has a season with over 1,100 yards, 28 receptions, and 8 total touchdowns. That was back in 2020 with the Bucs. It's not that long ago. He's qualified to be the immediate backup, to be that complimentary back behind Pollard. The odds, I think, are still that the Cowboys are going to sign or draft somebody else, but Jones definitely worth a stash for the time being. And then the last notable riser on my list, that's got to go to Darren Waller on the Giants now getting traded there. And he's got some durability concerns for sure, but he escapes that Raiders offense where he was going to have to deal with a lot of target competition. Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, they added Jacoby Myers right before Waller was traded. And now Waller goes to an offense where they showed last year they're going to find ways to get the most out of their skill position talent. They still don't have a true number one receiver either. They have a ton of wideouts for sure. Darius Slayton and Isaiah Hodgins and Paris Campbell and Wandale Robinson and Sterling Shepard's going back there. But in fantasy, we look for these situations where tight ends might be the number one or the number two pass game option. I think we can pretty convincingly say that Waller is going to be one of those. They might draft a wideout in the first round, but even still, Waller is going to be a big part of that offense, and we've seen him be an elite fantasy producer when he gets the volume. So right now, he's the tight end 7 in my redraft rankings, but he's going to have a chance to challenge for top 5 numbers at the position this year. And then for fallers, we won't spend too much time on these. Some of them we've already talked about. No real major fallers at quarterback, so we'll just skip ahead to running backs. DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, they're dropping down. We already covered that earlier, so I'm not going to go over that again. Alvin Kamara, he's another one who just keeps falling for me, and we know the legal situation. I think Drew Davenport over at Football Guys, we've had him on the show before, he's done just an outstanding job of breaking it all down. Going back to last year before the season, he was the one that was tipping people off to the fact that the case would likely get delayed until after the year. And now he's the one warning us, saying that Kamara is kind of a pretty risky fantasy pick this season. After free agency, though, it's not just the looming court case that's a problem. The Saints also go out and they sign Jamal Williams, maybe because of this situation. Either way, Jamal Williams, goal line vulture extraordinaire. Kamara, a guy who had 18 touchdowns in 2018 and 21 touchdowns in 2020. He knows a thing or two about scoring touchdowns himself. His best seasons are really backed by that TD scoring. And now you have Williams there who's probably going to lighten that load for him. On top of the fact that Kamara just might not be available at some point during the season, depending what happens in that court case. So that has to make you worried if you're a fantasy drafter. We'll see how far he falls, but he's going to have to fall pretty far before I'm willing to take him this year in terms of his ADP, unless something changes. Ezekiel Elliott, he's fallen too, getting released by the Cowboys. Now, he might end up somewhere else. He might end up on a contender in a similar role like he had with Dallas, getting the goal line work, but I didn't find it that promising that you had those reports come out that he was looking at the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Jets. And really, the reports painted it as if those were the teams that were competing for his services, when in reality, we find out that that was just a wish list that Elliott had. So we don't know who his suitors are or if there are any suitors at the moment. And some of these older backs, when they lose a step, sometimes they have trouble accepting that new reality and the new situation for themselves. So I'm not sure where Zeke will end up, but right now I have him down in the RB3 flex range. Same thing with Devin Singletary. He's actually found a new home with the Texans. We kind of knew that this was coming, that he was going to end up dropping for fantasy. You know, he wasn't going to go back to Buffalo. He did have some decent stretches for the Bills. And in terms of fantasy, he was pretty good. I think he was another guy that was underrated at times. Now he signs in Houston where he's going to back up Damian Pierce. And that makes Singletary just an injury away guy. He might have some flex value some weeks, but nowhere near the fantasy asset that he was as the Bills starter, where he was a high-end RB3, sometimes even snuck into the RB2 range. Other fallers, I have a few receivers here. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, they're going to take a hit. They have to take a hit. I mean, you're going from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield. That's not great news for anybody in the passing game in Tampa. Hopefully the volume can at least stay high and that'll keep them in the low end wide receiver two range. But the passing stats in Tampa overall, the efficiency is going to go down. And that's why both those guys, they dropped a few spots in my rankings. And I was really hoping that the Bucs were going to be able to find a better answer at quarterback than someone like Mayfield, but they didn't. And now it might lead to a more inconsistent year for a couple guys in Godwin and Evans that have finished as wide receiver ones before, have just been outstanding fantasy options. Might not be as great of a year for them. Maybe they'll have a different option at quarterback next season. But overall, much lower ceiling for that passing game this year. I also moved some of the free agent signings like Jacoby Myers and Alan Lazard. I moved them down because the hope for these guys was that they were going to go out in free agency. They were going to find another number one role somewhere else. Now they've signed on to be number two options in their offenses. And I think both are going to be fine for fantasy, but their value, it's down in the wide receiver four flex range. There isn't really a big ceiling there unless we see some injuries happen around them. And then the last faller, Hunter Henry on the Pats. You probably weren't looking at him anyway. You know, he didn't really do much last season, but he did have a brief moment when they traded Jonnu Smith away. There was a brief moment where you thought that maybe it was possible that he could see more looks in the offense this year. And then New England, they go out, they bring in a true pass catching tight end in Mike Gesicki. And they also bring in a short range target hog, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's going to get a lot of looks in that middle area of the field. I mean, that's kind of that Jacoby Myers role from last year. We'll see Juju step into it. Hunter Henry already was kind of barely usable last season for fantasy, really just a touchdown or bust guy again, and he's not going to score many touchdowns, unfortunately, which is really too bad because Hunter Henry was someone that we had a lot of hope for a few years ago. He signs a good deal. He goes to New England. Really hasn't panned out for him there. But that is all for today's show. If you're looking for more content like my redraft rankings, my dynasty trade value charts, all my breakdowns from free agency last week, you can find all of that for free over at The Score. And I mentioned this last week. I know the fantasy section got taken out of the main spotlight on the league page in the app. That's just because we had so much going on. There was NFL free agency and March Madness and the World Baseball Classic and everything. But don't worry, it's going to be back soon. In the meantime, you can find all my stuff in the NFL section, or somebody pointed out to me this week, if you were already following the fantasy section, you could just go into the news tab at the bottom of the app and there should be an NFL F up at the top. And you can just click there and you'll have all the listings for all the articles. If that's too much of a pain, though, I get it. Just go follow me on Twitter at Justin Boone. I have all the links to everything in my Twitter feed. You can find it all there. For now, I am going to be off for the next couple weeks, like I said. And when I get back, we'll be shifting our focus to the draft and we'll have lots of articles and podcasts. We'll get you all ready for that. But until then, I want to say big thanks to my mom. It was her birthday this week, so just want to give her a shout out. We all got together. We had dinner with her the other night. It seems like she's having an awesome birthday week, just not one day, the full week. She is out there killing it in retirement. So big thanks to her. And as usual, big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.